broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And good evening. Welcome to the show, folks.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. You know, any Friday night is a great night to be at Ted's of Beverly Hills, but this is this isn't a Friday night. It feels like it, though. It's a Tuesday night, 4th of July tomorrow night, and the best of Ted. The best of Ted Bell is there in the shop, right, Phil?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And, We're rolling out the best of Ted Bell over this, 4th of July holiday, whether you're taking the end of the week off or you're taking off the early part of the week. Welcome to our show. And there's a lot of very interesting tracks on this best of Ted Bell download, Ted, that we want to talk about. We also want to discuss with you what you've got planned for the 4th of July weekend. This is the segment brought to you in part, folks, by Ted's of Beverly Hills. Also, that jingle is available, isn't that right?
Yeah, that is absolutely right. And the reason why we're making the Ted's of Beverly Hills jingle available to people is because a lot of people have asked us about it. And they've asked us, they've said, you know, we like it. We understand that you've had to deal with a lot of people who want to make it into something that's dirty. There's nothing dirty about it. We do. We want to put our meat, you know, where we say that we want to put it.
But don't you think that sort of invites?
No, I don't. You and I have had this discussion.
All right, okay, never mind. You know,
we've had this discussion. I think if you think in a juvenile way, I think if you think like a child, then obviously it does invite, as you say, that kind of filth, which is what I consider. But no, if you listen to this jingle, this is one that we put together with Walcott and Brewster, which is an advertising agency in New York. And that's Candy Swenson, I think, who's singing it. And by the way, we have our prime rib will be slow cooked all day tomorrow on the 4th of July. So you've got a great 4th of July prime rib dinner come out in Ted's Beverly Hills.
Here at Ted's.
Here it is.
We want to put our meat in your mouth.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so I'm just saying that was a controversial part of it, but it is available on the Best of Ted Bell download that's up at our in our shop at philhendryshow.com.
Yeah, and we do want people to, I think you were talking with Neil about turning it into a ringtone. I like that idea. I want to know how the money situation is going to work with that.
Well, you had indicated to me that we could sell that jingle on the CD or do what we wanted with it without any kind of a contractual commitment from you commitment with you.
Well, no, I yes, I did, but I didn't know that you wanted to turn it into a ringtone. That's a different, I think that's a different area.
Okay.
And so if you're going to sell that as a ringtone, then that's money for me that I may be leaving on the table, and I don't want to leave any money on the table. I don't mind you guys using the jingle for the promotion of the restaurant, to promote the segment that I do on your show, but if you use the jingle as a ringtone, now it takes it into an area.
But you did say to me that we could use it as a ringtone.
Yes, I did. I didn't know. I didn't know what a ringtone was, because I'm not that savvy. You know?
All right. So you didn't know that a ringtone was something that people use that comes out of someone's phone?
Yes, Phil, I knew that. Yes, I knew that. What I didn't know was the fact that you guys were going to make that jingle into it. For some reason, it didn't translate into my mind that you could make money selling ringtones for phones. I had no idea.
And well, that's what we were talking about. We were going to take that and we were going to sell it as a ringtone. Yes, you're right. We would, the money would go into, the money would benefit the radio show.
Well, see, I got a problem with that. And
all right, well, then we can, obviously, we're talking about a business deal, with you.
Well, in that case, I'm going to want a pretty sizable share of whatever it is you make. As a matter of fact, I may want almost, all of the money. I may not even want you to use that jingle at all, as a ringtone. You can sell it on your CD, but I want the money from the Ted's of Beverly Hills jingle from the ringtone. I think, the more I think about it, the more I think I'm going to want that money.
Well, it's up to you.
I don't know how we are able to loop into your accounts there, or otherwise you guys have to make an accounting of it.
Why don't you just take it and sell it yourself?
Because I've got it on your website.
So you want me to sell that jingle as a ringtone for you?
Yes.
And I don't get any money for that?
No.
I apologize, folks, that we're talking business here, you know.
Yeah, Mr. Hall's going to call him, man.
Well, I don't want Mr. Hall to call.
No, I would love it if Hall called up, because to be honest with you, I don't think you get what I'm saying.
Well, I don't understand why I am that I'm going to sell your jingle as a ringtone and I don't get any money.
Why would you get money? It's that I gave you permission to sell it on the CD as just a cut, right?
Yes.
All right. But I'm not giving you permission to sell it as a ringtone. That's mine. Okay? That territory, that opportunity belongs to me, all right? Years ago, I remember when I was consulting with Al Davis about the Oakland Raiders, and they had moved back to Oakland, and there was some noise about Seattle moving to L.A., but Al very rightfully said, the L.A. opportunity belongs to us. And he very rightfully did say that. And
how could he say that with the Oakland Raiders back in Oakland?
Because Oakland had staked out that territory. Oakland had said, we've been there, it's ours, we don't want to be there right now, we're moving back to Oakland, and we'll see how the water feels up there. But right now, we've already, if you'll pardon me for saying this, Phil, we've already marked our territory. So if you want to say it this way, and it's probably not a very nice way of saying it, Al Davis came to L.A., urinated to mark his territory, and, you know...
Well, a lot of people think that's exactly what he did, so...
No, let's not be hateful, Phil, all right?
And well, Al Davis came down here and sprayed.
Yeah, like an alley cat. That's what you do. And then he said, okay, you smell that? That's me. But I'm taking my team back to Oakland. But if you go to L.A. and you're an NFL owner and you smell something pungent, that's Al Davis.
You know what? I don't think your examples are too far off the mark for a lot of NFL owners. I think that anywhere they went and they smelled something pungent, they probably thought it was Al Davis.
I just think that's very disrespectful, Phil. You know what?
Well, no, I'm not. I'm not saying. I'm just, you know, the relationship he had.
No, I understand that, but I don't think you need to bring it up. All I'm telling you is this: I want you to sell the Teds of Beverly Hills jingle as a ringtone on your website. I get 100% of the profits. And the reason why I get 100% of the profits is I'm letting you use the jingle on your Best of Ted Bell download. What do you think? Look, there's nothing to think about, Phil.
All right, so there's no negotiation here.
No, there's no negotiation. I had no idea that this ringtone thing was something you could sell.
Otherwise, you never would have given me the ringtone. You wouldn't have greenlit it in the first place.
Exactly. There's no way. But when Hall gets on the line here, and you know I respect his opinion, and you know that I respect your opinion, but I also I respect my opinion. Yeah, let me tell you the opinions that I respect.
You're right, too.
Okay, let me get David up here. So, David, you've been hearing this?
Yeah, you know, I've been listening. Ted, how are you doing?
I'm good.
Listen, you're saying that you want us to sell the ringtone and we don't get any profit at all.
None.
And what wiggle room have we got?
Yeah, you don't have any wiggle room.
So we're not negotiating?
No.
All right, that sounds fair. Thanks a lot, Phil. And, you know, one of the things I'm going to want to do is...
What'd you do?
I hung up on him because that's the goofiest thing I've ever heard in my life. Boy, talk about driving a hard bargain. Thanks a lot, David.
Well, don't get angry at him, Phil. I mean, you're the guy that said, hey, can I sell a ringtone?
And you're the guy that said, yeah, and go ahead and keep the money. And then you found out how valuable it was, and now you want to keep 100%. That's what I call that's a marvelous negotiation. It's kind of the long way around, but...
Well, you know what? You live and learn, man. You live and learn.
All right, we're going to be right back here in the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We got a lot to talk with Ted about here in our regular Ted Bell segment here. This portion brought to you by Ted's of Beverly Hills. Don't forget, we have the Best of Ted Bell on our website. The Best of Ted Bell downloads as chosen by our backstage pass members. So these are all cuts that were chosen by our subscribers. PhilHenryShow.com. Go to the shop and get the Best of Ted Bell download. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. PhilHendryShow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and online at philhendryshow.com. By the way, with a backstage pass, you also get live streaming video of our show each and every night, and that's where we are right now, here from the El Pacifico. We got Ted Bell, who's going to join us back here again in just a moment. But I did want to mention just one tiny little detail about this next quarter hour. We're going to talk about Andy Griffith because he did pass on today. The news that we got about the death of Andy Griffith was around 7 a.m. this morning, and it spread pretty quickly. He was obviously an accomplished television performer. He was a monologist. He was on stage as well as in movies. I think he started his career as sort of a comic monologist. He did a monologue about football that was quite funny. And so that is going to be the focus here of what Ted wants to talk about here in the next quarter hour. And for those of you who are not aware of the passing of Andy Griffith, there's a number of stories in here. There's a great story here from Ron Howard, who co-starred with him all those years on that Andy Griffith show. Ted, were you a fan?
Well, yeah, I would say I was a fan of Andy Griffith. I don't think how you could not be a fan of what that band was able to achieve. To me, it was remarkable. And I don't think that anybody in the history of entertainment being born with a lot of the disadvantages that Andy Griffith was born with or that he developed over time, has achieved anywhere near as much as Andy Griffith. And that's the source of my admiration for him. Did I think he was the funniest guy in the world? Not really, but I think he surrounded himself with some very funny people.
Oh, my God. I mean, Don Knotts, I guess you could say that Andy Griffith discovered him.
Well, yeah, I think he certainly popularized him. Don Knotts was one of the greatest character actors I think American television has ever discovered. Ron Howard went on to become a director. So I think in that sense, Andy Griffith was all that and more. I'm trying to think of the name that he used on the TV show. It wasn't Andy Griffith. It was Andy Smith or something like that.
You know, that's a very interesting question. It's a good question. I don't know the name, the character that he played on the Andy Griffith Show or Mayberry RFD, whatever you want to call it.
Well, it was called Mayberry RFD, I think, after it was the Andy Griffith Show, right?
No, I think it was the other way around. I think it was Mayberry RFD, and then it was the Andy Griffith Show.
Why would they do that?
I guess because after he became popular, it became more. It made more sense to call it the Andy Griffith Show.
Oh, okay. All right, I understand that. But what was the name he used on the show? Andy Brown? I want to say it was Brown.
No, it was... why is it important?
Because it was confusing. I think that people knew this fine actor, but they didn't know what his name was. And then they called it the Andy Griffith Show, but was that the name of the character, or was that the real actor? See?
No, I don't know the name he used on the show. I can't remember. I could look it up, but it was Andy something.
Ron Howard wasn't Ron, it was Opie, and I know Don Knotts was Barney Fife. So Andy Griffith, why was he Andy? It's beyond me. And these are some of the things, the advantages, I guess, they gave to an Andy Griffith, given what he was contending with. And
what when you say contending with, what was he contending with? I know that he was born, maybe he wasn't born wealthy, was he?
I don't know, but I know it's obvious what he was contending with. I mean, when you look at him and you look at what he was able to achieve, you've got nothing but admiration in your heart.
And but what do you mean specifically?
Well, I think how do you become successful? How do you become as popular as Andy Griffith became having that kind of a mental makeup, I guess.
What are you saying? Are you saying that he was slow or?
Well, I think it became obvious to all of us when you saw the success of this band from this No Time for Sergeants, A Face in the Crowd. This was a guy that was not the sharpest. What's the word they use? They always talk about the sharpest tool in the shed. And yet, there he was.
Let's keep in mind something. This man passed on today, okay?
I understand that.
So what are you trying to say?
Phil, you keep asking me what am I trying to say. I'm telling you, Andy Griffith was a terrific performer and actor. And he did unbelievable things, given that he was not the sharpest bulb not the sharpest bulb on the tree, but how do they say it? Yeah, Johnny,
the sharpest tool in the shed?
Yeah, but what's the one with the bulb? The sharpest, the brightest bulb on the tree? Is that what they say? But in any event, Johnny, what is it? Brightest bulb. Brightest bulb on the tree and the sharpest what? Sharpest card in the deck? Sharpest card in the deck?
No, not the sharpest card in the deck. I don't know why we're wasting time with this.
Well, what would you call it?
The sharpest tool in the shed in the 52-card deck.
Sharpest tool in the shed with a 52-card deck. And
are you? What are you doing, man? Are you asking me about what you want to say about Andy Griffith? First of all,
I'm just trying to use the right phrase.
Never mind the phrase. First of all, you're saying that somehow Andy Griffith, the character that he played on television, was the way he was in real life.
Well, of course it was. The guy came from North Carolina.
No, I'm not talking about whether he was from the South. He had an accent. And frankly, the guy that he played on TV was a pretty sharp guy.
Well, how are you figuring that?
How am I figuring that? That sheriff that he played, that Andy character that he played, was a guy that was a father. He was the sheriff of the town. He was the go-to guy. People came to him to settle disputes. People came to him to enforce the law. He never wore a gun. He was a very unique character and a very admirable character.
Now, you got to draw the line. Admirable. I don't know what you mean by that. What I'm trying to say is this. He wasn't. Are you telling me the guy on TV is the same guy that he is not the same guy that he was?
That's exactly what I'm telling you. But although I'm telling you that the guy on TV wasn't that slow, you're trying to give me some idea that the Andy Griffith character on television was some kind of a slow, maybe even a dimwit.
That was my understanding, okay?
Hold on, because Margaret Gray, you know, she does a lot of interviews and has interviewed Andy Griffith. She's on
line three.
Margaret Gray is on line three.
Wait, can I get through one interview without her? I mean, I hate to be rude.
You know, that is uncalled for. That really is. I mean, I'm calling up.
Well, I hate to be rude, but every time I'm on the program, you know, I got you there.
I am calling up to give you some information, all right, Ted? And the information I have, because I did interview Andy Griffith, he was an incredibly intelligent man. He was a very, very insightful man. He had very good instincts. As Phil said, he started on the stage. Ilya Kazan, do you know who that is?
No, I don't know who it is. Is he the, well, I better not say.
What?
What?
Well, I was going to say, is that the Jew?
Boy, you, what?
How dare you?
What do you mean, how dare I? I'm asking you.
And what is it that, what does it mean? Is that the Jew?
Well, the guy that did the un-American activities.
You know something, Ted? I really...
Oh, don't give me a speech, okay?
I'm going to give you a speech. I don't know how you keep the business that you keep in the Hollywood community with an attitude like yours.
What does that mean, is that the Jew?
I was just talking about the fact that he'd spilled his guts to the American activity.
Well, even if he, quote, spilled his guts, as you say that, what has that got to do with his faith or his ethnicity?
Let me tell you what. I mean, there's a lot of people that I know in this business who are related to people that got stepped on by that House American activity, however they say it, and, you know...
So that gives you the right to refer to him in that derisive and derogatory way.
I don't think it's...
You know, Phil, every time I'm on the air with you, Ted, it is a shock, okay?
Well, you know what? Consider this. I just made you look better than you deserve to look.
You know, just for that, no, I'm staying on the air with you.
This is my segment.
I don't care. I'm staying on the air.
Hold on. I got to take a break. 877-876-7445. As we talk with Ted Bell and Margaret Gray about Andy Griffith, and now it's all of a sudden started. Now it's going down some weird road about Elia Kazan. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445 and PhilHenryShow.com. Yeah.
I need to open the guts on this woman.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Do you mind?
Steakhouse.
What?
Do you mind? Yeah, come down to Ted's of Beverly Hills.
That's what I was saying.
Do you mind? I'm doing a commercial. Come down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. We are... I'd like to speak to Phil Hendry.
Okay. Hold on. I don't want... Let's not start the segment.
I want to speak to you. This is my segment.
Ted, you were on here talking in a very anti-Semitic way.
I did not talk in an anti-Semitic way until you called up. Let the record show.
Oh, so I'm the one that inspired that? Oh, my God.
Yeah, you did. And I will say this to Mr. Henry, and I say this to the audience. You inspired a decidedly negative mindset in what was, I think, a very fun and freewheeling conversation I was having with Phil.
I heard you nickel and diming Phil to death on that asinine ringtone topic.
Wait. Who are you to make that decision? I'm talking to Phil about business. All right?
Let me jump in because that's what I'm going to do. I'm the host of the show.
Fine.
Margaret, lay off. All right? You're on here. You want to talk about Andy Griffith. That's what we're going to talk about. Ted, I don't know what your problem is with is he the Jew?
I said it because that's the guy that ratted all these people out. God!
Excuse me, but I know a great many of these people. I'm very wired into the Hollywood scene.
Yeah, I forgot.
How do you like that, Frank?
Hey, look, Ted. Ted's Frank.
Yeah, Frank.
Don't talk to him that way. He's my wife.
Yeah, okay. What did you say, Brains?
What did you call my husband?
You know what I called him.
All right, let's just move on, okay?
I'm saying that it was a derogatory reference given the fact that Elia Kazan had ratted a lot of people out to the House American Activity Uncommittee. I don't know.
You don't even know the name of it. I'm going to use a word. You use the word Jew. Listen to what I'm about to say. You sound like a retard.
All right, so in other words, why don't you just sink to his level?
No, but what does he mean, the House American Activity? What does that mean, Ted?
You know the committee I'm talking about, the House... He ratted people out to the Un-American House Activities, you know, the American Activities Committee.
No, it was the House on Un-American, the House Committee on Un-American Activities.
Oh, nice going. You butchered it up, too.
Phil, it's called the House, what did you call it?
It's the House Committee, the House of Representatives, their committee on Un-American Activities. It was impaneled in the late 1940s because there was a concern about...
Well, I know the history of the communism, right?
Yeah, there was a concern about communist infiltration in Hollywood. I don't know if it was if that particular committee...
Well, why didn't they call it then the House Committee on Hollywood?
Yeah, the House Committee on Un-American and Hollywood. You know, the Hollywood Un-Americanism.
I don't know, Ted, but you guys, just back up. Just back up and be quiet. It was called the House Committee on Un-American Activities, and yes, it was a lot of Hollywood people. And your point is what, Margaret?
Well, you're singling me out.
No, Ted was out of line using that Jew comment. That was out of line, Ted.
Hey, let me tell you something. Every night of the week, I'm in this restaurant talking to some of the finest Jewish citizens of Beverly Hills, California. So don't tell me I'm anti-Semitic, all right?
I don't care what you're doing. On my radio show, I won't hear that, all right?
What does that mean, you won't hear it?
Are you putting your hands over your ears? Or?
No, I'm...
Phil, I don't know what you mean.
All right, I'm saying I don't want to hear it, and I will not hear it. Is that fair enough?
All right, it's fair. You know, it's your show. But I will tell you that this guy, Kazan, and what I don't know what kind of a name that is, Kazan.
Kazan.
What is that?
It's Kazam. I thought it was Kazam.
No, it's Ilya Kazan, K-A-Z-A-N.
All right.
And you know what? I think something speaks very clearly about Ilya Kazan. Robert De Niro.
Oh, here you go. You're going to pull that card, huh?
Yeah, I am going to pull it. Robert De Niro and Martin Scorsese both escorted him onto the stage there at the Academy Awards that year for that Lifetime Achievement Award. And those are two guys that are very big, big figures in Hollywood. And they had no problem being seen on the same stage with Ilya Kazan, all right?
And both of those men, of course, were influenced heavily by Ilya Kazan.
And yes, they were influenced heavily. So what does that mean? It means that they have, if there was anything to forgive?
Well, I think there is. He ratted out people. You know,
Ted, this is no sweat off of you. What do you care?
Because some of these people are my friends. And when a guy stands there before the American Committee on whatever the hell you want to call it and says, oh, he's a commie, he's a commie, he's a commie, and he's a commie, you know, people have a right, a constitutional right in this country to be a commie. And you had Ilya Kazan or Kazan talking about these people like they were the scum of the earth just because they went to a commie meeting. Or maybe they joined the commie party and they wanted to, whatever, blow up the Statue of Liberty. I mean, it's bad.
Well, you know, regardless of who he was ratting out, as you call it, he was asked the question, and he answered the question. And you know what, man? Unless you put yourself in his shoes, you don't know what you're going
to
do.
What's that supposed to mean?
In other words, unless you know for a fact, you're sitting there, and a guy is threatening your career. You're never going to work again. You're never going to work again unless you answer these questions. What are you
going to
do?
I'm going to go to jail. I'm going to deny.
That is such a load of horse dung.
I am going to go to jail.
You're not going to go to jail, man. They're not going to put you in jail. They simply put you on a blackball list.
What's that mean, blackball?
You don't know what blackball means. It means that you are on a list
of blackballs?
Blackball means that you don't work. They won't let you work. And those people got blackballed. So you're going to sit there in front of the House, as you call it, the House Committee on American Activities, or whatever the hell.
No, that's what you called it.
No, I know what I called it. Are you going to sit there and say, yeah, I'm not going to answer your questions because I'm going to protect my friends, and who cares if I never work again?
Yes.
See, Phil, I'm glad you're holding his feet to the fire. Anybody that knows you, Ted, knows that that is the most fragrant load of something that dropped...
Hey, Ted, Frank Gray.
Yeah.
Ted, I love you, but that is, Margaret said it, and I think he said it very well. That just fell, what you just said, fell out of the back end of a mule.
So in other words, it's horse dung.
No, he's the Frank said mule.
Who cares, man? What you're basically saying is it's...
Boy, are you ready? You're saying that what I said is what I said.
Yes, it's mule dung.
It's far worse than horse dung or even bull do, you know.
Give me the phone, Frank. God almighty, he is bad tonight.
Okay, so where are we going here now? I don't even know what the hell it is we're talking about anymore. We were talking about Andy Griffith.
That's right. I'm sorry, Phil.
Yeah, we're talking about Andy Griffith. And the reason why we brought up Ilya Kazan is because Ilya Kazan hired Andy Griffith. Now, this is a guy that worked with Marlon Brando.
Hold on for a minute. Are you going to give a speech here?
Yes, I am. Ilya Kazan worked with Marlon Brando. He worked with Carl Malden. He worked with George C. Scott. He worked with the greatest actors in the American theater. And Ilya Kazan read Andy Griffith for this role and hired him. Now that, I say, is some pretty, pretty good company. And for you to sit there and say, boy, look at all that Andy Griffith achieved, given the fact that he was born slow.
Yeah, he wasn't born slow. He was born in the South. And while it is an absolutely understandable mistake...
That's what I'm saying. You know, you can't fault me. The guy walked around. Do you know that for the longest time I thought that the gentleman, Jim Nabors, had a very serious stroke? And
what do you mean?
Because every time you saw Jim Nabors, the face was... And he would sing. I got to get Bill Dunphy over here. Billy, come here for a minute. Bill Dunphy. Here's a guy that beats me at every. Billy, how you doing? Great. Bill, sing. Do your Jim Nabors impression.
Hold on for a minute.
No, wait. Do your Jim Nabors. Well, I don't know how to do it. Sing. I tell you, sing. Old Kentucky Home.
Well, the sun shines bright on my old Kentucky home.
Now, you ought to see his face when he does that. It looks like he's had a full stroke that has cut all the nerve endings to the left side. And
you're talking about the drool. What you're calling? You're talking about drool mouth.
Yeah, the drool mouth. And you know, drool. You can, and this is Frank Gray, Phil. Drool mouth is Jim Nabors had the market cornered on it, but it doesn't.
What do you mean drool mouth?
You never saw Jim Nabors' mouth.
I saw Gomer Pyle.
Well, same difference. Go ahead, do it again, Bill.
Oh, the sun shines bright.
Yeah, you ought to see his face. You're doing it. Look at that. There's even some spit coming out.
Well, it's hard.
Yeah, I know. Bill just told me it's hard to do. So,
all right. So now we have what? Now we're talking about Jim Nabors, who looked like he had a stroke. The fact is.
Well, no, but I'm saying all of those actors, George Lindsay. I swear to God, I saw George Lindsay blowing a snot rocket. I mean, that's a guy that you could see. George Lindsay looked like the kind of guy that would walk down the street and just go ahead and pinch off one nostril, and I mean fire one, you know, tube one, bang. And
okay, that's great. And so we've got one guy with drool mouth, another guy firing.
Well, you have really just, everyone is a big fat cliche to you, aren't they?
Am I right or am I wrong? Let me ask Dickman.
Yes, sir.
Am I right or wrong about all those people?
I don't know who they are, but...
Well, you know, look up a picture of them.
Okay, so what you've done is you've come on the show here, and you've drawn, you know, a bunch of stereotypes.
That's the word exactly, Phil. All stereotypes.
They're not stereotypes. If what I'm saying is wrong...
What the George Lindsay with a snot rocket and Jim Nabors with the drool mouth, or he looks like he had a stroke... You know, I mean, all of these things, in your mind, mean one thing. Andy Griffith was somehow slow.
No, he was Southern. That's all I'm trying to say. And I would think that you'd give me at least a little bit of the kind of thing... What is that? Is that the...
That's a commercial that you got to do.
What do you mean I got to do a commercial here?
Yes.
God. Hey, come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills tomorrow. We're doing an Andy Mayberry RFD Griffith. I forget the name of the show, but we're going to do a full... what do you call it? A marathon.
Really? What channel is that on?
Well, if I tell you what channel it's on, they're not going to come. What an idiot.
No, he's not going to tell you the channel, Phil.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay, Phil. It's on channel this and that, and that way you don't have to come to my bar.
All right, we'll be back here. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. I'm sorry, but you're the guy with the snot rockets and...
I don't hate that me. It's George Lindsay.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. For more information on this and other great talk programs, go to talkradionetwork.com. Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line with me, Ted Bell, Margaret Gray, as we talk about Andy Griffith.
Well, and we haven't said a whole lot about Andy Griffith.
No, I think we have.
No, Margaret's right. We haven't said a whole lot about Andy Griffith, and we've said a lot of stupid stuff here. Let me get a couple of phone calls in here. I want to talk to Ian on the Phil Hendry Show. Ian, go ahead.
Well, is a question for Margaret Gray. Is she still there?
Yes, I'm right here, Ian.
Mostly, I have very sort of a sickly childhood. You know, I watch a lot of television, and I was raised in Great Britain.
No kidding.
Right. Yeah, I guess my accent is.
Yeah, we get your accent.
My accent's noticeable, but. I was a big Andy Griffith fan. I like Mayberry RFD and a lot of shows like that. And Danny Thomas, they had a lot of it in rerun.
Yeah, well, Danny Thomas is where Andy Griffith...
Well, hold on. I was going to say that. You know, I know all that. There's not a whole lot you could tell me about Andy Griffith that I don't know. And I was going to say,
well, he started with Danny Thomas.
Now, I know that. I know he started with Danny Thomas. As I say, I know a lot about Andy Griffith.
You're a big fan of his?
Yes, sir. I was a very, very big fan of Andy Griffith. A very, very big fan of Don Knotts.
What about Ron Howard?
I don't like Ron Howard. I don't. It's not I don't like Ron Howard. I thought Opie, he's a little kid, you know. He's not anybody on that show that I say, well, you know, I think he's funny or I think he's this or that. I never liked Opie. And
well, I mean, now that he's a director?
Well, I like him even less, you know. He's all I think Ron Howard is rubbish myself, but that's...
You think Ron Howard's what?
I think Ron Howard is rubbish.
You think he's rubbish?
Oh. Right. I do. I think he's rubbish. There's nothing he does that I've at least been interested in. And I just called up. I want to talk about Andy Griffith.
All right. Yeah. Fair enough. Ron Howard is not the topic.
Right. Ron Howard's not the topic.
What did you think about the... Can I
finish what I'm saying? Because I was listening to you, both of you talking, and there's information you're not getting out. Like, for instance, the show was on the air for 9 years, and they had Don Knotts and Ron Howard and that Francis Aunt B, who I thought was very underrated and not appreciated at all.
And that was Aunt B. Yeah, she was wonderful.
No, she wasn't that great, but for what she did, you know, for what she did. She was like the mother in that family, you know? And I always, she used to remind me of my own, my grandmother, not my own mother. And I thought she sort of anchored the home life, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And Andy had a girlfriend, that one lady was his girlfriend.
Yes.
And then Don Knotts, he had a girlfriend, Thelma Lou, who was like, pretty probably very good looking for a chap like that, don't you think?
The Thelma Lou character?
Yeah, I thought she was far better looking than he probably in real life what he'd be able to get.
But in real life, the Barney Fife character?
That's right.
I don't know. I mean, Thelma Lou is pretty, but let's face it, every time they cast a female opposite a strong male character, she's going to be attractive.
Well, but no, but Andy Griffith's female had buck teeth.
Well, I don't remember that.
You don't remember it?
What do you mean, buck teeth?
Andy Griffith's girlfriend. And
oh, her name was Helen.
Right, Helen. She had buck teeth. And
she had buck teeth. She...
Yeah, she had buck teeth. And she was not as good looking as Thelma Lou, who I thought was much more attractive. And yet Barney Fife was not like as strong and masculine macho as Andy Griffith, see?
Well, so what does that mean to you? And why, you know...
It seems to me that it was very creative casting, that's all. And I thought that was a very strong part of the show.
I'm interested to know, Ian, you come from the UK. Was it on in reruns over there?
I guess so. If I watch it, God.
Well, I don't know. You're very rude.
Well, I'm sitting here listening to you. Blah, 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 blah. You're not saying anything. You're not talking about nothing. It's all a bunch of rubbish. It's all a bunch of crap, isn't it?
And what do you mean a bunch of crap? I've been here. I mentioned a lot of...
You're talking about Snot Rocket.
What?
You talking about a Snot Rocket?
Snot Rocket?
Snot Rockets. And he's right.
You talking about Snot Rockets. You talking about a man had a stroke.
I'm telling you that Jim Neighbors looked like he had a stroke. They had to strap a bucket for drool on that guy's face.
I think it's... So disrespectful of Jim Neighbors to say something like that. That was a great show.
Well, I agree with you.
Why didn't you speak up when this retard...
Who's the retard?
You. And by the way, you sound like you got buck teeth, too.
I do not have... I have an overbite. Who is this guy anyway, Henry?
Listen, Ian, thank you very much.
Well, I thought I'd come on and try to straighten some people out, because he's on here talking about George Lindsay with a snot rocket, talking about Helen... Talking about Thelma Louise, or Thelma Lou, or whatever, Don Knotts, and it's all rubbish, and they're not making the show sound good at all.
Well, I really am sorry, Ian, if I gave you that impression.
But it's just you're not correcting this retard. You know.
All right, watch it with the retard. Thank you very much, Ian.
Right.
Did you hang up on him?
Yes, I... Well, I'm going on to another call. Is that okay? David Hall is checking back in with us here. David is out this evening having dinner in Pasadena. David, how are you doing?
I'm listening to the conversation. This started out in the early part of the hour when I had to talk to you guys about the downloads, and now I hear people talking about Andy Griffith passed on. He's a very respected and very loved character in American theater, in American television, in American cinema. So I don't want to hear anything disrespectful. Do you understand?
Well, that's what I've been trying to do, David. I've been trying to tell Ted to keep his comments as uplifting as possible.
And I have been trying to keep them uplifting. I've tried very desperately to keep them uplifting. I haven't said anything about Andy Griffith other than that he was a fantastic performer.
Yeah, but all of that snot rocket stuff and,
Well, you know, that limey... No, all right, I shouldn't have...
There he goes, still with limey and Jew.
All right, you know, we're gonna move into the news break. Thank you very much, all of you guys, for contributing tonight on the passing of the great Andy Griffith. For my money... I think he was almost a genius at his ability to produce, at his ability to direct, at his ability to teach other actors. And Ron Howard mentioned that as well. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Teach other actors.
Why don't you get lost?
God.